But my wife told me she didn't like the way he looked. No.
How much you sign Veda Pinson and Frank Robinson for? And Kurt Flood, you also signed him.
$4,000.
A piece?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good return on your investment. And, of course, the way Pinson played those first few years, looked like he was destined for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. That was the reason we dealt Flood, because we had Pinson.
So you dealt Flood to the Cardinals?
Yeah.
What'd you get in return?
We got three players. One of them was Schmidt, who was either 10-1 or 12-1. And Willard Schmidt. And if we did have Pitcher, we never would have touched Flood. Mm-hmm.
Needed some pitching going along with that powerhouse.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess it was before Robinson got there that you set your club set a major league record for home runs.
We tied the record.
Excuse me. You've now been with Cincinnati. You've been with Cincinnati for about 25 years beginning of the 1960s.
Biggest mistake I ever made was when I left Cincinnati. I didn't realize how good a boss Paul Crosley was until I left him.
You left baseball to the baseball people.
I never should have left there.
But you were enticed to go over to Cleveland.
No, I was enticed to go to Houston. And I was enticed to go by Craig Cullman, whose grandfather founded the Texas Company, and who the National League approved as the new owner of the club. And when I got there, I found out that he had sold 85% of his stock to Judge Hopkins.
Oh, the guy that built the gun, the judge.
Yeah. And I never had any trouble with Judge Hopkins, but I knew I would.
Well, he was a man determined with a dream.
Yeah. If it hadn't been for Hopkins, he never would have had the dome. Mm-hmm. He was a bastard politician and got that thing done. Otherwise, it would not have been got done.
Was that the first ballpark with artificial turf?
Yeah. Yep.
So you took a new franchise and built it up.
I would say build it up. But
I mean, put all the administrative staff together.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about a pennant winner, but I'm talking about... How long did you stay there?
6 months.
6 months.
Yeah.
6 months was long enough. Yeah. Well, Gabe, I can share with you, several years ago I took a new job. New title as a dean. Oh, I wanted that so bad. This was a career dream. It was a lousy mistake. I only stayed 4 months. You stayed 2 months longer than I did. I guess many of us make those kinds of mistakes and say, why in the Sam Hill did we ever do that?
But, you know, when I left, Judge Hoffhines laid down a bunch of regulations that I had to adhere to.
You as the club president?
Yeah. No, as general manager. And I had in my pocket a release from my contract signed by Craig Cullen, which I promised him I would not use it unless I had to. And I had this in my pocket, and he was going to sue me. I said, go ahead, Judge, it'd be a very interesting case. And I had the release in my pocket. And I said, Judge, I'm not agreeing to a single thing. I want to leave amicably, but I am not agreeing to anything.
What thing? Three things did he want you to do?
He had a whole list of
them. Oh, such as?
I was to say, do certain things, say certain things, and
in terms of what to say to the press or
yeah,
to the players?
Well, both. And I told him I want to leave amicably, but I know I'm not agreeing to anything. But he said, I'm going to sue you. I said, go ahead, it'll be a very interesting case.
Did he know you had that piece of paper in your
hand? No, he did not. And then we talked for about 8 hours. He finally gave me a release without any strings attached.
So you walked away from Houston?
I walked away.
Unemployed?
No, I had an offer for some time from Cleveland. And I announced it up in Cleveland. He was mad at me because I didn't talk to him first. I said, listen, Judge, I was not about to have this thing leak. And I know that you would have leaked it if I had said anything to you. So I didn't do it. But
well, pretty spunky and gutsy of you to talk to him like that. Not many men did.
Well, I think I had the cards.
Well, you also believed in something.
Yeah. But
so off to Cleveland.
Yeah.
I remember those fantastic Cleveland teams in the 40s and 50s with that great pitching staff.
Yeah.
54 team went to the World Series against mm-hmm. the Giants. Should have won it. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of should-haves in baseball. Time you came to Cleveland, they were pretty down and out. I guess you did have, Jim Perry?
Yep. Also had Gaylord. Traded Simon Tolliver, Gaylord Perry.
Did you also trade Jim Perry?
Yeah, later on.
Yeah, I'm 63. What'd you trade him for?
He was not doing too well. And I was criticized hard for treating Sam McDowell.
Sammy who?
Sam McDowell.
Oh, Sam McDowell. I'm sorry, yeah.
And I know, and I got back to Cleveland.
That because of his alcohol problem?
No. I said, I just want to say this. In my opinion, Duffy was the shortstop incident deal too. That Gaylord Perry will pitch longer than Sam McDowell. I remember at the baseball writers' dinner that year, I said that, and I was criticized for that. But he pitched many years more than Sam. He was one of the best competitors that I ever knew. And Sam pitched much shorter, partly because of the alcohol problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that he would pitch longer than Sam, and he did.
Well, McDowell, though, he had such a wicked fastball.
He sure did.
You know, he was kind of like the Sandy Koufax of the American League.
Yeah.
Or he just wore his arm out the way that...
No, he wore his stomach out.
Oh, well, that can happen too. That's what happened to my father, so I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he brought Bertie Tepetz over. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to be without Bertie, so you bring him over to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Where he probably was destined to go to many years before he even went to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Being a close friend of Al Lopez.
Yeah.
And Bertie said, okay, Gabe, I'm coming.
Yep.
And he said, the ball team's yours, Bertie. Go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he built a fine pitching staff, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was a terrific manager.
But you had a tight wad of an owner compared to Crosley.
Well, you'd have a tight wad of an owner.
Or you had an owner that didn't have any money.
Well, that was our problem. We had a group of owners.
Oh, you had a syndicate.
Yeah. And,
well, as a... I'm sorry, go ahead.
In 1 year, I was the principal stockholder, the largest stockholder.
You were?
Yeah.
So you were owner, president?
Yeah.
So you called all the shots?
Yep. But I sold to Stouffer because I didn't have enough money to beat my share of what an owner should do.
What do you mean by that?
Well...
You mean 51%?
Well, no. I had 20%. But you'd have to put in money for various things, and I didn't have enough money to do it. So I sold mine. That's the only reason I sold.
To get the money to do the things you wanted to do.
Yeah. I sold a sofa. And when Stouffer bought the club, and before he sold to Litton, he took in the stock they paid him off in stock, Litton stock. If I'm not mistaken, he took in the stock at about 108, something like that. And the stock went down to 8. So that you get an idea of what kind of a financial situation we were in. I think Vernon would have loved to have been a real good owner. He would have been, but he didn't have the money.
Yeah. Like a lot of farmers I knew in Kansas, land rich and cash poor.
Well, no, but his, he could sell the stock and the stock would, like this. So there he was.
But nevertheless, you built the pitching corps, rebuilt that, so that it was at the top of the American League again in the late 60s. So it seemed like your record had been building teams. They would hit a bottom, then rebuild them, as you did in Cincinnati, as you tried to do in Houston, as you tried to do in Cleveland. And then all of a sudden, here's this George Steinbrenner buying the Yankees, and you're out to rebuild the Yankees in 1973. You know, you've been around a lot of fantastic managers. Bertie Tebbets, Bill Verdon,
Bill
McCleary, Al Lopez, Billy Martin,
Lopez,
Frank Robinson.
Lopez never managed for me.
Al Lopez.
Robinson did not manage for me.
Okay. Anything in common that all these guys have, or are they so unique that when God made them that he threw away the mold in terms of managerial qualities?
Patience.
Billy Martin had patience?
No. The quality that they had, the plus quality they all had, was patience. Martin was impatient, but strangely, Martin's success as a manager was due to his ability to get people to believe in themselves. You don't have to believe in the manager, you have to believe in yourself. And he had that quality. Even people who hated him, he helped their confidence.
What, do you have little pep talks with them? Take them out to the beer joint?
Not necessarily. No, he just had a faculty of getting the guys to believe in themselves, that's all. He didn't believe in pep talks.
I guess he even got Reggie Jackson to believe in himself.
And Reggie hated him.
Yeah.
And he hated Reggie. The feeling was mutual. But
that was Billy Martin's gift.
Yeah. Believe in himself. He didn't believe in Martin.
So you would say that same thing, same quality that Bertie Tebbets had?
Oh, yeah.
Al Lopez?
Yeah.
Bill McCartney?
Yeah.
Bill Verdon?
Yeah.
Just different personalities, but all the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, that requires patience.
All good managers have that.
But in today's world, where baseball owners with $30 to $40 million payrolls with a farm system that is only the skeleton of what it used to be. The press, baseball writers, the owners, fans want instant success. I want a winner next year if we're paying ball players that much money. To me, that's a recipe for destroying the game and cutting back on that quality. We bring up ball players much too soon.
In some cases.
Before they learn the fundamentals. We're seeing them throw behind the runners a few times.
I think in many cases ball players are overcoached, not undercoached.
Got too many specialists out there.
Yeah. In many cases, some coaches are like Danny Wise. I think of Wally Moses, who was a good friend of mine, and a guy would get a base on balls and walk down to first base, and Wally would go through all the things that he was doing up at the plate. What the hell, that's overcoaching. That's too much. You gotta have a relaxed mind.
Who do you see in the major leagues today having that quality of a manager? Patience and getting guys to believe in themselves.
LaRusso.
Who? Tony LaRusso?
Yeah. I think he's a fine manager.
He's from Tampa too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Bucky Showalter?
I don't know him that well.
Well, you come back to the Yankees. The boss man says, I want Gabe Paul as president of the most illustrious franchise in Major League Baseball history. I guess that was enough to tempt you to say yes to that job offer.
Yeah. I was going to retire when I went back to Cleveland. I wouldn't have gone back to Cleveland.
You mean after you left the Yankees?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except that Steve O'Neill said that if I didn't go back with him, he wouldn't have bought the club. And that's the only reason I went back. I was ready to retire at that time. And I will say this, George Steinbrenner told me I was crazy to go back. And he was right.
But why'd you go to the Yankees? You know, you left Cleveland.
Well, I was a part of that deal.
What do you mean part of the deal?
Part of the deal where George put into the Yankees.
Never heard of a club president being part of a deal.
Well, George had come to the stadium here. You know, he's from Cleveland.
Yes.
And he was at the, he was going to meet Jim Nables, Sr. At the ballpark.
In Cleveland.
And Nables was a little late. He came up to the office. He said, Nables is late, and we guess. And he said, I want to buy a ball club. This is after he had tried to buy Cleveland. And, you know, Jim
Stouffer, where the son had set up the steel. It was Jim's steel. And when George called Vernon, Vernon was in Scottsdale, and somehow or other the story had leaked, and Vernon was burned up about it, and he was drunk, and he said, now. The deal collapsed, even though Jim Stouffer had, it was Jim Stouffer's deal. And he said, I don't want to do that. And so that's when he sold the melody. Right after that. But anyway, George came to the stadium that day. And he said, I still want to buy a ball club. He says, is Detroit for sale? And I said, no, Detroit is not for sale. Fetzer at that time owned it. Mm-hmm. He said, what club is for sale? I said, believe it or not, the Yankees are for sale.
CBS owned them at that time, yeah. Didn't
they? He said,
I bet his eyes picked out, bugged out on that one.
Yeah, he said, would you follow up on it? So I called Mike Burke and arranged for a meeting with Mike at the Plaza Hotel. And we had breakfast and I told George about it when I got back to Cleveland.
So Mike Burt and George came up with a...
Well, no, then Mike and I had another meeting the following week. And then I arranged for George to meet Mike Burt. They came out at the Carlisle Hotel. And that's when things started. That's when George and his group bought the Yankees, and I was a member of that group.
For what amount of money?
5% of the... I had 5%. Steve O'Neill had 5%. His brother had 5%. George had 15.
Of the Yankees?
Yeah.
Now that included the franchise, Yankee Stadium?
The lease on Yankee Stadium.
The lease on it.
And also the plans to renovate.
Yes, that took place later.
Mm-hmm. We played a Shea for 2 years. Mm-hmm. $10 million.
$10 million. What a fantastic rate of return.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I hope you still have your stock.
No. I was not allowed to keep it when I went to back to Cleveland.
You had to sell it.
I had to sell it. Hello.
So $10 million. And George had a ball club.
Yeah, he had 15% of it. Now he's got well over 50%.
Mm-hmm. He's a driven man. Mm-hmm. He only wants to be surrounded by winners.
Well, that's a good trade.
You bet.
Nothing wrong with that.
He's gone through a lot of managers in the meantime.
Yeah.
When you came on board with the Yankees had rebuilt. They got Thurman Munson.
He was already there.
Yeah. Ralph Houck, I think, was the manager.
Yeah.
The major. Was he just fired and replaced by Bill Burden and just wanted a whole front office new there when Steinbrenner came in? Or was Houck, of course, Houck later managed the Red Sox and the Tigers.
What do you call it? I think Houck quit.
And so you went on a rebuilding of the Yankee tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the first thing you had to do there? Pitching?
Get ball players.
Well, you had the money behind it to get them.
Oh, yes. And we needed it. We needed a lot of ball players. I think the best deal there was with the Angels. We got Figueroa and Bonds.
Bobby Bonds?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you got one whale of a deal out of Cleveland for Greg Nettles. Mm-hmm. Craig Nettles. You must have had something to do with that.
Well,
you must have seen something in that guy that, hey, I want him real bad.
Well, I was on the other side, but I knew I was going to leave.
Who was going to leave?
I was.
Cleveland.
Yeah. But Phil Segue and Aspirani were 1,000% in favor of that deal.
Who'd you give up for Nettles?
One of the fellows we got back was Charlie Spikes, who at that time was one hell of a prospect. But I think Medich for Randolph was a terrific deal. Willie Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, hey, you got Catfish Hunter.
Catfish Hunter is a free agent.
Yeah.
And
got Sparky Lyle.
He was there.
Was he? Bobby Mercer, he was there.
We traded Mercer for Bonds.
Roy White.
We had Roy White.
Mickey Rivers.
Mickey Rivers came in the deal with California, and Figueroa was in that deal.
Mel Stottlemyre?
No, he was there.
He was there also. Well, that club that finally won, they won in the American League pennant in, what, 75 and 76?
And won the World Cup in 77.
Mm-hmm. They were fighting. You know, they were just like a bunch of alley cats
mm-hmm.
in the back alley. They'd fight at the drop of a hat among themselves as they somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
That ever bother you, you know, that kind of commotion and utter chaos? That
results are what count.
Results. They want to fight and scrap with them? Let them go ahead.
What? Go ahead. Scrap. Don't fight with me.
Okay. Just don't break any arms when you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I guess, okay. So you had really kind of a rebirth of championship baseball again.
Those were happy days in New York. I think one of the biggest thrills I ever had was the ride up Broadway after we won the championship in 77. It was pouring down rain, and we were in open cars and riding up all Broadway. It was the largest crowd, notwithstanding the rain, since the Lindbergh Parade. That was a big thrill.
And you stayed with the Yankees until 77.
Yeah, to January 1st, 78. What do you call it?
Up until, I'm sorry?
George had asked me to stay through the minor league meetings, which I did.
And by that year, we now had the free agent, the end of the reserve clause, collective bargaining.
I remember one thing. Charlie Finley got up at one of the meetings. He says, give them what they want, but don't give arbitration. Give them anything else they want, but don't give them that. Don't give them arbitration. And I'll never forget, he talked for about 45 minutes, and he was so right.
So did Steinbrenner. He didn't want to give him arbitration. But they got it. Now, arbitration, it means that you sign a contract with the major leagues, you go up, the first 3 years you got to stay. From after 6 years, you can be on the free agent, the marketplace.
Yeah.
So it's between year four through year six that if you're not satisfied with your pay, you can hire an arbitrator who will come in and say, well, if I'm batting 250, there's this jerk on the other club that's batting 250 and making $750,000. I'm making only $500,000, therefore I ought to make $750,000.
Yep.
Is that a fair assessment of arbitration?
Yep.
Were you opposed to it?
Yeah. But I remember at Cleveland, one day I was having lunch up at the stadium club, and a fellow says, I'm going to be your arbitrator in such a case. He says, I haven't seen a ball game in 20 years. But yet he was going to be our arbitrator. I know I raised hell about it. And the fellow withdrew.
Well, he's probably making a pretty good fee anyway. But hadn't seen a ball game in 20 years.
Yeah. How could he be the arbitrator? What's he going to arbitrate? We hadn't seen a game in 20 years.
Gabe, you've been known as an innovator, as a baseball executive. I've read these things about you. You can tell me whether they're true or false and add any comment to them, okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, that you're a shrewd negotiator and a penny pincher.
My wife will agree that I'm a penny pincher.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree that you're a shrewd negotiator?
I don't know what I am or not.
Okay. Well, were you with the contracts with players? When the contract time came up?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. You let others be the judge of that.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Number two, you supported the designated hitter rule.
Yes. But I'm wavering on it now.
Why?
I've seen so many games on television. I kind of like the National League games more than I do the American League.
Well, because the manager has to decide whether to keep or pull the pitcher?
Yep. Even though I was 100% for the designated hitter, I am not now.
I heard, next thing, that you supported the rule change for players to bring in their gloves in the outfield at the end of each inning.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Even though there had never been anybody tripping over ball gloves in the outfield.
That's right.
Safety reasons you wanted it brought in?
I didn't think there were any reason to let them out there.
Oh, yeah. Like a lot of things, tradition.
Yeah. And there's some games where balls hit gloves.
Uh-huh.
And where players stumble over gloves.
There were incidents of that.
Oh, sure, sure.
You pushed through then the free agency drafting of players.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Was that when you were with Cleveland or with the Yankees?
I was with Cincinnati.
Oh, way back with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
What did you propose at that time? Much in the way that we have it today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody groan and make faces at you?
Yep. Not everybody, but a lot of them.
You advocated the split of each of the major leagues into two divisions.
Yep.
To have division playoffs and then the World Series.
Yep.
Even though it might mean that it might be 28 degrees at the ballpark by the time the World Series is played at night.
Yep.
Now we're going to have possibility
of another
of a wild card.
Yep.
They're going to be playing the World Series in November.
They'll shorten it, I think.
Cut back on the 182-game season?
No, I think they'll, instead of a 7-game series, I think they'll have 5 games.
I know, but you're still talking another week.
I don't know. They should shorten the schedule to account for it.
Would you recommend having three, with all the teams now clustered around the country with the two expansion teams now, Florida and Colorado, that having really three major leagues rather than American and National League, have American, National, and whatever?
No, it might make sense, but I'm not for it.
I've read where you were responsible for changing the minor league draft system from drawing numbers out of a hat.
That is absolutely true.
To drafting in reverse order of the finish in the standings.
Absolutely.
You're the one who came up with that idea.
Yep.
What year was that?
Way, many years ago.
In the 50s?
Before that.
Oh, really? Well, before that, we had the bonus, so anybody who had the most money could sign up whoever they wanted, whichever club would offer the most money. So the draft system, did that go into effect, in the late 50s? Those are the things I've read about you.
They're all true.
Are they? Well, I'm glad I did my homework.
Mm-hmm.
The only one you're going to be non-committal about is being a shrewd negotiator.
Yep.
And you'll let other people decide the merits of
that's
that.
That's right.
Okay. To conclude, Gabe, what would you like to say for the record, given that this is going to the archives of the Hall of Fame? Maybe I didn't ask you a particular question, or maybe some other thoughts come to your mind that you want to put on the tape recorder?
I've enjoyed all of the years I've spent in it. My only regret is that it's over.
Well, I bet they still give you a standing ovation, whatever club you went to.
I'm not going to any club.
I can see you going back to Cincinnati, and they'll be up there giving you a big standing ovation.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? I'd love to go back there.
Well, I think maybe you just better plan that, and off you go.
Our five children were born in Cincinnati, and we got many great memories of Cincinnati.
You can tell me whether you're not to answer it. Pete Rose.
What about him?
There's never been a ball player, I guess, who's been banished to be reinstated, to my knowledge. And, of course, the Hall of Fame rule is that anybody banished cannot be considered to be voted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think he should be reinstated first. I don't think you're... player on the ineligible list should be voted in the Hall of Fame. I think Pete Rose should get into the Hall of Fame, which would mean that he would be reinstated. And
even though he violated the cardinal principle of baseball, thou shalt not gamble.
Yeah, but I think I read where people are forgiven for various mistakes that they have made.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pete, while he has made some mistakes, should be entitled to the same forgiveness that others are.
If he what? Would make a public apology? And say, I'm sorry I did that?
I'm not prepared to say that. I don't know.
I just didn't know what kind of evidence that with the new commissioner, whenever that person is going to be appointed.
I have a different feeling. I feel that there was a great deal of suspicion on Ty Cobb and Trish Speaker in the last year or two of their career. I think they were both sold to the Athletics. And I think they were both called on the carpet for gambling.
And on horses or on baseball teams?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. But there was a great cloud at that time, and I think their cloud was no greater than Pete Rose's cloud. And unless something was done about Cobb and Speaker, that Rose should be put in the Hall of Fame.
Gabe, thank you very much for having this interview, and I'll send the master copies to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Fine.
To Bill Guilfoyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate being able to come into your home again.
Well, I'm delighted to have you come.